to Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program. The guest this week, comedian, actor, and 29-year-old man-child, Ben Adams!
The office sort of broke in England. You get invited to all these things. Do you want it now? Do you want now? Turned everything down, okay? And then one came through, VIP audience with
Ollie Bettesworth.
Now,
Ollie Bettesworth.
He's been my hero for about 30 years. So we went along, me and my girlfriend. He was amazing. And Greg Dyke, then, you know, head of BBC, comes over and goes, "You're a fan, aren't you?" I went, "Oh, I love
Ollie Bettesworth.
Come and meet him." I went, No. He went, "Now come and meet him." I went, "Oh, we're walking to see
Ollie Bettesworth."
He goes, Salman Rushdie joins us. So there's me, Greg Dyke, my girlfriend, Salman Rushdie. We go down and meet
Ollie Bettesworth.
Mental, okay? Next day I'm in the pub with my mate Johnny, and he goes, "What did you do last night?" And I went, "Nothing." "Oh, what would I say?" I was hanging out with
Ollie Bettesworth.
And Salman Rushdie, "What did you do?" So I didn't say anything.
Ricky Gervais there, talking about finally getting to meet his idol, the composer to the theme tune of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme, Ollie Bettesworth. Welcome to the show. I'm Ollie Bettesworth, and I have a tremendous guest this week in the form of comedian and actor Ben Adams. He's a very funny guy and a personal friend. He has also recently amassed quite a large following on Vine, and we talk about that a little bit in the episode. But I think he would agree that the work he is most proud of in his entire career so far is his work on the Broadband Choices adverts. So that's all I have to say for now, but I hope you enjoy episode 5 of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme, in which Ben Adams comes around to discuss mothers, flip-flops, faith schools and toys. Enjoy. Now, Ben, you strike me as somebody who gets angry about a lot of things.
I do.
But you also strike me as somebody who enjoys getting angry about things.
I love it.
You're simultaneously complaining about something and yet really, really enjoying that it exists. Do you not see that there's some inherent hypocrisy, let's face it?
Absolutely. Yeah, God, absolutely. I'm stupid. I'm a stupid person.
Well, like, that's no fun. You're not supposed to just admit it.
Well, this is what people say. People say, I have arguments on Twitter where someone will say something and go, "That was out of order because of this." And I'll go, "Oh my God, yeah, you're absolutely right." And they go,
"You're not supposed to do that
no,
on Twitter."
No, but I that's what I do.
Escalate. Don't.
No, I'm so right.
Yeah.
You've just convinced me I'm probably a bit wrong, but
you could have far, far, far more followers if you just steamrolled ahead.
I know. I would. But I don't know why. I've always moaned and really enjoyed it. And I don't know why.
You're the sort of person you'd see a video and you'd go, "Oh, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
I best send it to all my friends immediately and replay it again."
My humour has always come from moaning. Like my friend Pat, he says that I'm my funniest when I'm most miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he saw me through like a really hard breakup and I was a wreck and it was awful.
But it was also hilarious.
He said it was hilarious.
Right.
Because, it's just funny. I don't know why, I've always moaned and tried to make it funny. And when I used to work at the London Dungeon, it was like an award ceremony, you know what twats do.
Mm.
And then they go, "Oh, the sexiest male, oh, is this guy," it's like school again, and you're like, alright, alright.
Popularity competitions.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like them because I've never been given one
exactly,
of those
awards. That's what I feel like I don't like them for.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't like that because I'm not the sexiest man.
Yeah, the moment I get a kind of most handsomest person, I'll back off.
Yeah, exactly. But these are all right.
Yeah.
But I got biggest moaner.
Right.
Right. And apparently this was a bad thing.
Oh.
And I went, "Woo!" I like danced my way to the stage, like, "Yes, biggest moaner. I'm so chuffed."
But they'd given you the award to shame you.
Yeah.
Publicly.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's just like, and I got taken into the manager's office, like, when I was working one day, because I started to slack after a while, and I was a shit employee. I always have been a terrible employee. If I don't want to be somewhere, I'm awful.
Okay.
And I feel horrible about that. Like, I have no work ethic at all. I'm just an absolute twat.
Mm.
And but not when I care about something. When I care about something, I'll work hard at it. But what was I saying? Yeah, when I worked at the dungeon, and my manager took me into the room, and he was like, "Oh, Ben, you got biggest moaner, you know, and you seemed almost happy about it." And I was like, "Yeah."
So the really happy award ceremony turned into a sort of disciplinary procedure.
Yeah, and it was just like,
I was disappointed, Ben.
Yeah.
I wanted you to hang your head in shame and vow in your speech to change.
I just thought it was
contrition, hard. Ben, not celebration.
But I do feel bad because I moan at work now because I can't. I'm just very honest. I'm very honest, and I just say exactly what's on my mind at any moment in time.
Mm.
And it could be a bad thing, could be a good thing.
Sometimes
it's good, sometimes it's bad.
You should have a bit of tact.
Yeah.
Ever heard about that?
No, I do have tact. Of course I do.
Mm.
I'm not going to... Yeah.
You'll be tactful in how you let someone know they're rubbish.
I'm not that honest. I'm not like, someone says, do I look nice? And I go, you look like a fucking... Or, no, obviously...
But that would lead me to suggest that that's what you're thinking.
No. Not at all. You're digging too far. You're digging too far into my real
thoughts. You just said, no, I'm not that honest. I wouldn't be that honest as to tell them that they look like a whore.
I'm saying in times like, to be tactful is what I'm saying. It doesn't, it's just an example.
I don't think it's very particularly tactful not to say that someone looks like a fucking whore.
No, but I would never say that. I'd never say you're a fucking whore.
You just think it.
I elevated the words for comedy effect.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, fuck it, you know, funny words.
I'm joke deaf. That's no problem.
I'm on edge because you're like, you're sitting there, I'm going to attack you. It's going to be the hard edge questions.
Yeah, I'm gonna destroy you publicly. That's what I'm gonna do, and all of 10 people will hear it happen.
Doesn't matter how many people listen. Mm. Doesn't matter. Those 10 people were enjoying it.
Yeah,
and isn't that the real point?
No,
no,
no. Fame and fortune is the point.
No,
to everything
not.
I do.
It's not. I was supposed to have an audition the other day, and it was right. I got the brief the day before. And it was, this is what it's going to be. You're going to be lip syncing and dancing. Must have a dance background. I don't have a dance background, so good one, agent.
Right.
And and it was like, you're going to lip sync. Must know the words, especially the rap parts, to Whoop, There It Is.
Oh, who doesn't?
And Everybody Dance Now.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it and I kind of was thinking, okay, yeah, I'm going to learn the words to the dance part and I'm going to... gonna do it and whoop, there it is, and start dancing around. And I was like, I dance around in my flat all the time, be fine. And then I just started to think, hang on, like, I'm gonna have to go into a room and like dance for my supper, basically. Just go in and be a fucking monkey, just be like, no, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't do it.
I see. So you lost out on the money.
I did lose out on the money, sure. Mm. There was no chance of me getting that money, but.
Would you not say that it was pretty unprofessional behaviour to back out of the gig in that?
It was, absolutely. Mm. But does any of this really matter?
No.
Is the question.
Yeah. Just retreat into nihilism. That's the way. that's always the answer. You sexually abused me when I was 6. Yeah, but we're just floating around in space.
No, obviously that. Things that really don't. Like, it doesn't.
No,
it's all going to be
no.
fine. And yeah, if anything, yeah. I have to do these things to my... Like, my agent, I've paid lots of money to. So I should be able... And I don't feel... What it is, it comes from a place of, like, not feeling comfortable enough to be like, no, I don't want to do that job.
You offend a lot of people, Ben Adams, don't you?
I do, yeah. Not as much anymore, I don't think.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think I've just... I don't find...
Have you sold out?
No. I've just kind of grown up a bit, probably.
Mm.
I've started... And also, I'll tell you a big thing. I've lived in London 5 years now. And I came from Portsmouth. And Portsmouth is very sheltered. It's all white people. It's all this. It's all that. Like, it's just white people. And you come from that and you come to London, it is a big culture shock, right? And I've always been fine, it's never been a problem. I was never scared or anything. Like, my mate, I say that because my mate's scared of coming up.
Right.
My mate's like, I don't want to come to Peckham.
Right, okay.
That's why. But, yeah, coming from that, and then I kind of had a twisted view on, like, what was okay. And, like, it's fine to joke about that. It's fine to joke about this. Not just about race and stuff, but anything. It's just, as you grow up in a different environment, like London. London's so diverse and with all kinds of, like, not just race, sexuality and everything.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, whereas you've had no problem with that before, but you didn't really think about it. You didn't know anyone.
Mm.
And then now you're kind of like, you know, maybe I shouldn't, and as you grow up, I shouldn't joke. Maybe I shouldn't do a joke that's just about cancer. Because there's some people and you that you've met and they've been, like, torn apart by it. And you're like, maybe I shouldn't... Like, is there any need just for that little bit of, like, wordplay or some shit?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really want to be doing that.
So you came from a place where the weak were routinely victimised.
Yeah.
And you thought it was all right.
Yeah.
And you had to be educated by coming to London and meeting some of those people for the first time.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. I wasn't a monster, don't realizing... get me wrong. I was pretty good for someone in Portsmouth. I was all good. But
yeah, I know, but with direct questioning, I can make you seem like a monster.
Yeah, you can. Which is quite fine.
Quite convenient for
that's
me.
Fine. Things to me, like, things that are so awful, I've got a very childish mind sometimes. All the time. And things that are so awful and are so horrific to me, like say, paedophilia.
Hmm.
I can't... In my head, it's like a cartoon world. Like, because it's so horrific, I can't even begin to imagine, like, how awful that is and how that is just terrible. And in my head, it's like a cartoony kind of world.
Yeah.
Which is awful, and this is what I'm saying.
Do you imagine that the victims of sexual abuse are afforded the same liberty to imagine a cartoon world in which...
No. Absolutely not. No. It's not, and it's not right. I'm saying, it's not right. But I'm being perfectly honest with you and saying I can't help but find certain things funny.
Mm.
I can't help that. I'm still going to find certain things funny because who knows? Who knows why you find something really funny?
Mm. So what you're saying is you can't really help victimising the weak.
No, it's awful. It's just terrible.
It's just innate.
In the same way, I can't help see a sexy lady and objectify her a little bit in my head. It's awful. It's awful. I shouldn't. It's terrible. Like, but if I see a girl, I think, oh, she's lovely, or hasn't she got lovely legs?
Mm. And she's a person, Ben. You know
exactly. And it's and what can I do? What am I supposed to do?
I go to a few seminars, educate yourself, really work on yourself as a person. Maybe some therapy, reading up on a few books.
But,
maybe.
See, I would do that if it was like...
Positive
if
thinking.
If I felt it was a problem. Like, it's only very small things.
Cognitive behavioural therapy?
If I look at a girl and think, nice legs, no one's getting hurt. It's all... Is that really...
No, that is true.
Like, no one's getting hurt.
Unless you grab the legs. Then it's fine, surely.
If I went home and went, all right, darling, wish you had legs like that girl I saw today, like, then I'd have a problem.
Yeah, but it's okay to think it.
I'm saying sometimes you can't help but think it.
Yeah.
And all I can go by in the world is what my brain's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell that what everyone's thinking is what I'm thinking. I can just be honest about what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Ben, we're going to begin with one of your love choices. What is it?
Yes, toys.
You love... toys.
I love toys so much.
We should clarify straight away.
Oh, yeah.
When an adult says toys, there's a presumption it might be a kind of...
I'm just such a big kid.
You don't mean dildos?
No. I mean actual toys.
Action figures.
Toys for children.
Okay.
Well, no, toys for adults as well. They're not sexual toys, but collector's toys.
Yeah.
I love action figures and Ghostbusters mainly. And also The Hobbit recently. But I don't know, there's just something about that feeling of getting an unopened toy and just looking at it. Of like when you're a kid and you look at an unopened toy. and be like, oh.
So you keep them in the boxes?
Yeah, most of them. I've got some displayed. Mm-hmm. Some Ghostbusters ones.
Okay, so you're basically collecting.
Yeah.
Hoping to sell.
Yeah, maybe in the future, but I just want...
You want to have it?
Yeah, I want the toys, and I get them out, and I look at them in the boxes.
You don't ever play with them?
No.
No.
I play with a few. Like, with the Ghostbusters ones, I got the four main guys,
mm-hmm.
and I took them out of the box, and I've displayed them.
Okay, so how do you play with these toys?
I don't...
do you imagine that there's a scenario?
I don't play with the toys, I just...
Quick, guys, there's a ghost.
Okay. Yeah. Well, basically what happens...
Right.
This is actually what I've thought out.
Uh-huh.
So it's a shelf. There's a shelf there,
mm-hmm.
right? And you've got the Ecto-1A.
Okay, what's
which
that?
Which is the Ghostbusters 2 car.
Right.
Right, they did mm-hmm. it up a little bit.
Okay.
We're back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got the four guys around... the car, big Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and who's that just there?
I don't know.
That's the rookie from the Ghostbusters video game.
All right. I've
got a figure of him as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so all five of them are there.
Mm.
Winston.
You're mixing them, the franchise.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like...
Multimedia display.
It's kind of, no, it's like how they are after the game.
Okay. Yeah.
Stay Puft wouldn't be back, but we'll...
We'll ignore that, yeah.
But then on the other side, you've got Vigo...
Okay.
She's the villain from Ghostbusters 2.
Right.
Because I had to get him out, because Winston, I couldn't get Winston figure from the first film.
Oh.
He's like £100.
Disaster.
Yep, yeah, so I had to open Winston from Ghostbusters 2.
Oh.
Messed up the whole display, but then it's like it goes with the car, sure.
Hmm.
So this is what's, you know, this is the troubles of my life.
Now that doesn't sound like play to me.
No, it was. It is kind of is though, because you're imagining this whole thing, and it's it's fun. It's like playing with Lego.
How much money have you spent on this?
Oh, so much! All my broadband choices money.
Mm-hmm. You'll have to explain that.
Oh, I did an advert. Broadband choices.
Oh,
that one.
That's you, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. How do you feel about that?
I feel fine. It's absolutely fine. I like
it. Bought a lot of toys.
It just went on. Loads. It went on so long,
and then, well, that's good for you, though, isn't it?
It is good.
Repeat fees.
Yeah, it was good for money, but then I wasn't getting like a lot of auditions, and I was like, maybe that's because I'm in the advert,
right?
And on my Vine, everyone was commenting, going, "Broadband choice," and people were coming up to me in the street, going, "Are you a broadband choice ever?" And it was like, "So yeah, toys. I love toys."
Mm-hmm. Well, do you feel ashamed?
No.
Of it?
No.
You don't feel like it's a secret? It's, I mean, obviously it isn't, because you're bringing it up.
It's something that I love, and when I wake up in the morning and I see those toys, it just makes me happy. And I'm, oh yeah.
Why does it make you happy? Because you feel like I own those things. I'm obviously doing good in life.
With Ghostbusters, like when I saw the film, when I started watching Ghostbusters, the cartoon. And then when I was, I think, when did Ghostbusters 2 come out? When I was 4, I went to see Ghostbusters 2 in the cinema with my dad. And it scared me. It made me laugh. And I was just so excited by the whole thing.
But Ghostbusters 2 is the one that everyone says is bad.
Everyone says it's bad, but I just love it. There's loads of funnier lines in it, I think.
It's got the guy...
if you were to be... you know, a grown-up about it. But it is for kids, after all. But then, yeah, the characters are a bit off and they're all going off. They keep doing funny voices and there's all sorts of things wrong with it. But
it has the guy from Adam McBeal in it.
He's awesome in it. He's so good.
And that painting's quite scary.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love Ghostbusters too.
Yeah. No Rick Moranis. That's good.
No, right. Rick Moranis is in it. He becomes a Ghostbuster at the end.
Does he now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
And he fires on the big slime.
His wife died, and that's why he's not in films anymore.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He wanted to look after his children.
Oh.
Sweet guy.
I was in such a happy place.
Yeah.
I'm really sad.
That's my talent.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I grab a little ray of sunshine.
Oh, God, I'm talking about Ghostbusters 2, the happiest thing in the world.
That would be my superpower if I was an X-Men. Yeah. I would be a guy that turns any sort of positivity to shit immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. How does your girlfriend feel about the amount of expenditure on toys?
Do you know what she gets annoyed about?
Mm.
People asking her, if she's annoyed about my toys.
Yeah, I can imagine why.
She fucking hates it. She's like, why do people give a shit? Yeah. Like, I like that you have your stuff and I have my stuff.
Yeah, and you don't have shared finances, do you?
No.
It's quite an old-fashioned question.
I know, I wish we did have shared finances. She earns loads more than me.
Mm.
I'm always like, oh, yeah. Maybe you could pay a bit. I used to get housing benefit because my job was so low paid.
Yeah.
And then when I moved in with my girlfriend, I wasn't allowed that housing benefit. I'm like, but we're not married. She doesn't give me any of her money. It's like, no, you're going to have to.
You should insist that she pays you the amount of housing benefit that you were getting.
I know, I should.
It is only fair.
I'm doing it for her. I'm only living with her because she wanted it. No.
Ben, now tell me something that you hate.
Something I hate? Flip-flops.
Okay.
Right, it's a stupid thing. But yeah. I thought be a bit light about it.
Right.
It's just something I hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I work at the Natural History Museum.
Mm.
So I see a lot of people, right? And all I get to do all day, all my fun is looking at people.
And hating them.
And hating them.
Right.
But flip-flops... So
it's the perfect job for you, really.
Flip-flops really annoy me because I just... I don't like wearing them. So it's probably that's why they annoy me. But they just I just don't like seeing people's feet. And they're just walking around London in flip-flops. It doesn't make sense to me. It's like, why are you doing that? It is clearly not the most comfortable choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looks like a pain in the arse, if I'm honest.
Yeah, because you have to sort of clench your toes.
And it's
you?
Like, why are you doing that?
Maybe it's for toe exercise.
Oh, I think it's just to be...
Oh, it's summer.
Summertime. Look, I've got my new... tight shorts on now because everyone else is wearing them, so look at me because I've got the same as everyone. Oh, it drives me mad.
Do you have an anxiety about feet?
No, not really.
You don't find them disgusting?
No. As a kid, I used to have a weird like fixation with feet. It's odd.
Like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, but I don't like them anymore.
So it's more the impracticality.
Yeah, not anything like that with clothing annoys me. When something doesn't have to be there. I hate fashion and stuff. It's always annoyed me. I'm always like, just... The problem is with it, I think, just wear what you want. Wear what you want.
Yeah.
But then people go, oh, yeah, but I want to wear this. And I'm like, yeah, but you only want to wear that because you've been conditioned to, like, look at everyone else and go, oh, that's the in thing. So it's like, it bugs me.
Well, you know, I think these things give people confidence, don't they? And it's a way of engaging with a kind of community. And
everyone is an individual. Like for me as a self, I'm like, oh, I'm individual, but I know I'm not. Like I can't be. I'm like, oh, I'm so. I don't like people with flip flops. But I know that everyone has those things. Everyone has those little things. So it's like I don't hate them that much. I don't despise them. It just annoys me.
Yeah, I can imagine someone seeing you on the bus, for example, and saying, oh, look who the hipster guy with his Superman shirt on, because they don't know that you genuinely, despite being 29, are really, really into Superman. And that actually, they might as well criticise a 5-year-old for wearing the same shirt.
I always look at little kids dressed as Batman and stuff and think, I wish I could just dress as Batman.
Yeah.
I wish I could just dress as Batman and walk down the street.
Do it.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I'd love it. But no, I can't.
Why not?
I just... Because people would be like...
Well, why do you care what they think?
I just do. I can't help it.
Hmm. But wear what you want. That was what you were saying earlier.
I know, but to what
You're just
point?
Following fashion. No, obviously. The fashion is that you don't walk around like Batman.
No, but to a point. Like, if I wore a Batman thing, that would draw unnecessary attention to me.
Right.
If I was... walking around as Batman, people would be like, why is he dressed as Batman? I'd be like, I'm just going to the doctors. Just going to the doctors.
Mind like, your what? Business. You're on your way to a party? No.
Yeah.
Boots.
I was having a discussion with someone who dresses like, if you wanted to dress as a pilot. Someone who just wanted to dress as a pilot.
Well, right.
But then don't be surprised if you're on a plane and the pilot gets unconscious. Everyone goes, he's a pilot.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to go, no.
Yeah, but then you get to fly the plane. So
then everyone would die.
Yeah, but what a way to go out.
That's what happened.
All right, so flip-flops.
Yeah, I just don't like them. They annoy me. Don't wear them like on the beach. Sure, wear a flip flop. Do what you want.
But not in a museum.
Not in a museum.
Mm.
Oh, that pisses me off. Mm-hmm. Everyone using the museum. Oh, is there? Where's the kids' room? Where's the kids' room? What can we do with the kids? Oh, I don't know what you can do with your fucking kids. This is a museum.
Sandals?
Oh God, gladiator sandals.
Yeah,
the girls wear.
Mm.
Drives me nuts.
Okay, so that's in the same category.
Yeah.
Something you just said there brings you on to another choice of yours, though, yeah. Doesn't it? Why not bring
mums.
It up now?
Mums.
You hate mothers.
I don't hate mothers, right? And to be and the things that I get annoyed about, I remember getting annoyed about when I was a kid with my mum, right? And it's like it must just be like say 20 to 35 year old mums. Like, oh, it's, you know, I get it. It's exciting. It's all lovely, right? But they're just such dicks.
Right.
They're just such self-important twats.
Okay.
Like they stat. I mean, a million of them don't have jobs, so they go on these walks with the kids. They're like the mum teachers. You know when you go on playgrounds? School trips.
Yeah.
And you get the mum teachers.
Right, yeah.
So loads of them are them.
Mm.
So, and then they pretend. Then they're like even more so because they've got all these kids. So they're like, I'm with a school!
Mm.
Oh my God! All these children under me, I must be so important.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, you're no more important than the rest of the people waiting and queuing for the museum. And but these, like, they come up, and I usually stand at the main entrance, right? My job is not glamorous in the slightest. I stand there, sell guidebooks. That's all I do. And we have a separate entrance that where buggies can go in, right? So stair-free. This one has 8 stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come to the bottom of the stairs with their prams, sometimes with like 2 kids, and they're like, and you're like, oh, for God's sake. And we're not supposed to help them, apparently. Like,
why not?
Because if we drop the baby,
Like
it's not, it's all health and safety. But obviously we do, but it can get really bad. Like, my back started to hurt at one point.
What if the mum helps the buggy up the stairs, one of the babies drops, and the story becomes, no staff at the Natural History Museum.
I don't run
the... Helped, yet. Then now this baby is dead.
But that's not my problem. I don't run the Natural History Museum.
Oh,
I
just follow the rules. You should have clarified that.
Yeah, I do not run the Natural History Museum.
Okay.
Not an enthusiastic owner that stands outside every day.
Secret millionaire. Yeah, all right.
And they stand at the bottom of the stairs, and then you have to go down. You go, do you want a hand? And they're like, oh, yeah, oh, sorry. And then they're all smiles. It's all lovely.
Mm.
And you get to that last step, and you put that buggy down.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, there should be a ramp.
Oh, God.
Like, no apology. No, thank you. Just, well, there should be a ramp. Like, oh, well, I'm not in the wrong. Like, you're in the wrong. I shouldn't have to thank you.
Mm.
And it's like, you fucking, oh.
Yeah.
And... the just, parenting that goes on in the Natural History Museum is... you want to just slap him and go, I don't have a child.
Yeah.
But I guarantee this is not good.
Right.
A kid will come up, snatch a guidebook, hold it in their hands and go... The mum goes, give it back, if it gets that far.
Right.
Like, usually, pay, done.
Yeah.
Just grabbed it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, give it back. It doesn't give it back. Well, we'll have to buy it for him.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's probably not the best thing to do.
No.
Just.
What would you suggest?
I'd suggest getting that book off that kid
and
going.
By any means necessary.
I would have bought that for you, but because you acted out in such a way, you cannot have it.
The lesson here is don't be a cunt, son. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
But they don't have that. And if a kid runs into you. It's adorable. It's hilarious.
Mm.
The kid runs into you, like, you accidentally nearly kick it in the head.
Mm.
And you're like, whoa. And they just, they look at you and they go, oh, he's so curious. If I'd smacked that kid in the head, they would just all fire breathing all over me.
Yeah, no, that's true. Good. But the thing that we have to remember is that these people have given life to the world.
Yeah,
Ben.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing ever. They are sacrificing their whole life.
In order to give life.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know what that means, would you?
Oh, God, I hate them so much.
Yeah, 29, you know. I couldn't afford to buy Ghostbusters toys because, you know, I had to...
Oh, my God, it's just weird. You need to grow up and get a little child in the world because that's the next stage. You haven't grown up yet because you haven't had a child.
I actually had this thought. Is that just recently? I had this thought because, you know, about the 5 minutes before I go to sleep, that's when all the kind of existential dread and nightmares and the thickest, most condemnatory thoughts about my life come forward. And, you know, I just sort of
like... standing in a museum. I like to talk... 6 hours a day.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
That's when it all comes. You stand there and you just
Is my life? What is my life?
Yeah.
And I actually had a thought of, like, maybe I could end up to be one of these people that achieves nothing but has a kid. And that could be, like, my thing.
Exactly.
And I actually had that thought process. Yeah. Non-cynically, everyone I caught myself.
My God, Ollie's made it.
Yeah.
He's got a kid.
I just remember thinking, like, maybe the answer is that I could be one of those people that say, oh, he's a really good dad. And then I wouldn't have to do anything else. Like, I actually thought that. Which is sort of probably quite worrying.
But surely, like, if that was me, I'd be so unbelievably miserable. And
no, absolutely,
wouldn't be such a good dad.
The reality of it is that I would probably beat my kids. Yeah. You know,
this little kid the other day grabbed a book, and I looked at him and took the book away from him, and he looked at me as if, like, no one has ever fucking done that to me before. Mm. He was like shocked. He was like, he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I was just like, come on.
There's this new parenting idea, it seems, that it's kids can't deal with rejection or any kind of sadness. And also it's a hugely valuable lesson to a kid to know that people can get sick of your bullshit and then they snap and shout at you.
Yeah.
And that's how you know. That's how I learned not to push people.
Yeah.
And not to... There were a few times in my life when I was mucking around, I was doing something annoying, and someone really strictly said, don't do that, that's, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I never did it again. And it was, like, humiliating and upsetting for a second.
Yeah.
But then, hopefully, you grow up to be slightly less of a prick.
I did something like that. I was in, like, a... And I think back, and I think, what a dickhead. I was, like, just being a drunk dickhead. Being like, wee, tension seeking.
What, when you were a child?
No. When I was, like, at university.
Oh, okay.
Or, like, when... I think I was, like, 18. And I did this thing, and it's like, oh. This girl was sat there, and she, like, had a bum crack out. And I was, like, I was really drunk, and I got a straw, and I just put it in her bum crack.
Hmm. Hilarious.
Oh, God. And then she turned around and was like, oh, don't do that.
Hmm.
And I went... another straw. And I put it in, and she turned around and she was like, why are you doing that? Oh no, she was like, what are you doing? It? She And then she was like, argh. And I was like, oh no, because I want to. And she was like, I'm going to get my boyfriend to do. And I went, I like you've got a boyfriend.
Coming across really well in this story.
It's awful, like, terrible, terrible. I was really drunk. I don't like who I am when I'm really drunk. It's not good. Get aggressive and just on my dick and then I was sitting there and suddenly her boyfriend came over, the biggest guy ever, and he was just huge and had one of them faces of like he's been in a few fights, and he just like put his fag out on the table, like smashed straight into my face and was like, what the fuck? He's like, I was just, and I shat myself.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And I found out who I truly was.
Yeah. Tell me something about Vine. You love Vine.
I love it, yeah.
Why? Is it not for children?
It's just perfect for me. Like, I like to just make little videos. And stuff. I just love it. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly self-indulgent. But I try not to get too self-indulgent with it. With like the... Oh, let's all praise ourselves because we're Viners and stuff.
Mm.
But,
it's got its own little culture, hasn't it? It's got its own sort of celebrities. It's got its own, you know, meet-ups. And, you know, it's sort of a...
And I was a bit like put off at first. I used to make these Vines and stuff and just do funny videos for people and... that I, like, knew. But then my mate was like, oh, no, you need to, you know, like, think about what you're doing a bit. Like, you know, it is a viable thing to do and it is growing and growing. So it's like, oh, yeah, like, I should think about what I'm doing more rather than just do any old crap. Like, think about what I'm doing. And Yeah, I've got like a good following on there, and it's nice.
How many followers do you have?
Oh, 18,000 now.
18,000 people.
Yeah.
See you every day.
Yeah.
For 6 seconds.
Cool, isn't it? It's nice.
What are you going to do with those 18,000?
This
people?
Is what I mean. I don't know. I mean, we've got a podcast, me and Lenny Sherman.
You could take over London with 18,000 people, couldn't you?
No.
Do you think?
Yeah.
With the right targeted attacks. Do it.
Yeah. Should I do that?
Yeah.
But I don't think they'd listen to me. Yes. Somebody put up a video saying, "Vine me."
Houses of Parliament. Bring weaponry. Yeah.
Oh man. The biggest fine ever.
Whoa. In the burning Houses of Parliament. Oh, selfie. Yeah. Vine of you with David Cameron's head on a stick.
But I like Vine because it's anyone can do it. Anyone can get on Vine. And like, it doesn't matter who you are, go on there, do whatever, and anyone can get a following. Like, yes, there are certain ways to, like, you know...
I think it is an app that's unfortunately judged a lot of the time on its popular page, and the popular page is not a very good...
The popular page is awful, yeah.
Yeah.
But recently, they've started to let lesser people on the popular page.
Right.
Because you had, like, the big main American Viners, and they were always on there, and they're always like, oh, God, it's just so... No one knew was getting through, but now like quite a lot of new people are getting through. You've got like different, like you've got the big American Viners that have got 7 million followers, like, and the biggest in England is like 1 million something.
It's sort of one of those odd things where, even though you've never heard of these people, they are kind of famous,
yeah,
because of the virtue of they have a regular audience of 7 million people, worldwide.
Then, of course they are. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's There's crazy. Plenty of celebrities that you wouldn't think that 7 million people are aware of them worldwide.
Like every day.
Yeah.
And I think people can slag it off a lot because it is kind of, it is something that kids are into.
Yeah.
But not so much anymore. Like, it's getting an older audience.
And a lot of Vines are just people's faces.
Of course they are,
you know.
But yeah.
It seems to be very sort of self-involved.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very.
Have you heard of this MagCon thing on Vine?
No.
MagCon is this phenomena in America based on Vine, and all the young boy American Viners, they go and do basically a kind of a live gig with all of them there, but they don't do anything. They just meet and greet. That's what it stands for, meet and greet convention. So,
oh my God.
And get loads of people buy tickets, and they just go. They seem to go onto stage for a bit and do these sort of silly, unchoreographed dance routines, but the joke seems to be that they're bad and it's them dancing to hip-hop and stuff. And they meet these girls and they get a little chaste peck on the cheek with a handsome blue-eyed boy a few years their senior, and they go home happy. So that's the power of Vine.
That's incredible.
They're like a boy band, but they don't even have to perform.
They don't do anything.
They just do the bits where everyone screams at them.
Yeah, that's awful. I'm too old for that.
I don't know if it's awful or not.
If I do well on Vine, I think it's got to be because people find it funny. Yeah. I'm not a young, sexy
I don't know,
boy.
12-year-old girls will be particularly interested
exactly.
in
you. Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you should have thought of that, really.
Yeah, but I don't want to be.
That's the big Vine market, though.
Yeah, but I don't want the big Vine market. I want the smaller Vine.
Okay, you want the sort of gourmet Vine market.
I don't know what I'm going to do with all the followers, though. It's kind of like, well...
Yeah, but you can...
I just enjoy making videos.
You funnel them to your podcast.
And my sketches and stuff. And
yeah. So, you know, it's working for you.
Yeah, it's all good. Seems all right.
Hmm. Well, see, I quite like Vine, so I find it quite difficult to condemn it.
No, I think it's lovely. And it's nice that you kind of can watch content for free by someone else across the world that's made it for free.
Yeah. I'll tell you who my favourite person on Vine is.
Ben Adams?
Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy.
He's a hip-hop artist in America.
Yeah.
And even within the sort of mainstream hip-hop, I think he's fairly derided because he does a lot of music that can be easily turned into ringtones and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
right.
It's very commercial and very calculated marketing. But all his vines, he appears to have a weird Wu-Tang Clan tattoo on his forehead, which always, he looks a little bit, and it's always looks tremendously stoned.
Yeah.
And all of his vines are just him mumbling kind of, like, mad swag, yo. And it's just like loads of pictures of him with a joint or like flashing wads of cash or like is my new trainers, yo, and it just looks at his trainers.
Oh my god.
It's just an endless celebration of his own kind of wealth and gangster.
Have you seen James White?
No.
He's the opposite of that, and he's got like he just went a bit mad. I think people did it as like it was fun.
Oh, James White, the guy from, where is he from? Japan.
Don't put it on me. You're like, oh, the guy from, where's he from? You do the hard work.
I don't know where he's from. I don't follow him.
No, but, you know.
But he was kind of a joke, wasn't he?
Yeah, see, and I didn't like that.
People liked that he was a bit kind of weird. And,
yeah.
Because he was very Asian and very broken English. Yeah. And
he goes like, oh, what are noodles? I like it. Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So
but then... Because he got so big and he's got like so many followers now, and you see like where he is and his house and stuff, and it's like a rundown like shanty or whatever. Like it's, and then you kind of think, well, even if it started as a joke, it's quite awesome now.
Yeah,
like because he's going to be getting people approaching him. He's so popular, and he's perfectly harmless. Like no one's going to go, oh, he swears or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So there will, and then hopefully he'll make some money out of it and get himself out of.
What could he do though?
No, but he could just do advertising on Vine,
right?
You can get so much money from advertising on.
No, I've seen that. Do a little sketch that involves,
because I'm, you know, I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
and I haven't been offered.
And you've got integrity. Yeah. Your adverts appear on the television, guys.
Yeah, so, guys. No, guys. No. If anyone wants to offer me, I want to do like adverts for like stuff like fleshlights and things like that. Like stuff that are, you know.
Do you think you're the guy, sort of guy they would want on their advertising? Check out this guy in a Superman shirt. He's our ideal market.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they.
But
would.
Kevin Smith advertises fleshlights.
But they're not going to have like some respectable, handsome like, guy
exactly,
in a business
but
suit.
Because it's like a taboo thing.
Mm.
People like me are the ones that are going to buy it.
Yeah.
So if they see someone
true.
Like them, they'll go, "It's good enough for him."
Mm.
Like, yeah. He knows. He's like me.
Yeah. You're sort of aspirational, but for
like,
losers
yeah.
And stoners and stuff.
It's the Ben Adams brand.
Yeah.
It's the Ben Adams brand. Try, but not too hard.
Yeah. All right, Ben. Hate.
Hate.
What do you hate today?
Faith schools.
Okay, and why is that?
Because I just don't like indoctrinating children.
Right.
I don't like that a child has to go to a school that is only whatever religion their parents want that child to be.
Right.
And it annoys me, and then...
But, you know, if you're gonna impart some of your values into your kid, aren't you? I mean, your kid's probably going to grow up fairly liberal and non-religious.
But
and
the right way?
Well, see, that's what it comes down to, isn't
it? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
But I suppose you're not going to send your child to a school.
I think my way of thinking is based on reason and logic.
Right.
Whereas a faith school is based on... silly things from years ago.
But it's two different issues, really, whether you have a problem with religion.
I do have a problem with religion, though.
Yeah.
It annoys me. Not because of, like, they don't... I don't like people ignoring fact.
Right.
I think it's more because I work in the Natural History Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Get a lot of people coming in and...
pointing at a dinosaur, going, boo!
Someone literally...
Lies!
Someone looked at the dinosaur and went... nice idea.
Really?
Yeah. And
oh,
this,
my God.
And this is what it is.
It's interesting.
And in this place, and then we have... And then people come in and they go, excuse me, where's the faith room?
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, let's be honest with each other here.
Is there a faith room?
There is a faith room.
Right. Where people can go to pray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But it's a let's be honest, it is a Muslim room.
Right.
It's not a faith room. Mm. Like, okay. It's fine. Don't be wrong. It's fine to have that, whatever. But you know, it's silly to be like, oh, it's the faith room where all members of faith can go. It's like, no, it's not that.
Mm.
It is a place where Muslims can go and do their daily prayers.
Yeah.
Right. That's fine. I don't mind that.
You might be a Christian who sees a dinosaur and has a moment of crisis.
But this is what
wants to go.
This is what the issue is.
Right.
It shouldn't be there because it is a place of science.
Right.
And fact.
I see.
And it should not be there. We shouldn't pander to any of it.
Right.
It's just, and that's what annoys me.
Mm-hmm.
What is the point if you come into the Natural History Museum?
It's a publicly funded institution, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to cater to everything.
But that's annoying to me.
Right. Inclusivity.
Yes.
People being included, that's what that means.
No. I know, it's just like, what does that mean? No, but it doesn't make any sense to me in the same way flip-flops don't make sense when you're walking around the city.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense to believe in something that's completely contradicted by what you're seeing around you.
I see.
And that is like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me. Like a little girl came up to me and bought a guidebook, and I was like, there's dinosaurs in there and stuff. And she was like, I'm not allowed to see the dinosaurs. I'm just like, why? It annoys me when children aren't allowed to see everything.
Right.
And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I love space and I love evolution and nature and everything. I think it's so fascinating. And I guess it's like I want people to share. It's like I've seen an amazing box set.
Right.
And I'm like, look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this show. Look at Breaking Bad. It's so good. It's so good. And people are going,
it's not good for it's not. Children. You can't show Breaking Bad to children.
No, but you know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I'm in no way saying you should say to children, there is no God.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm just saying, do that, do whatever, do, but just don't force it down their throats by the point of going to a whole faith school where it's like it's all based around it. And it's just,
they do get good results though, faith schools.
But that's all that teaches is that they're very good at being indoctrinated and showing that they can listen to things, remember them, write them down. And that, if anything, that's scarier.
I think one of the most regrettable side effects of faith schools is that it probably leads to quite a bit of segregation.
Yeah.
You know, if you go, it seems like a big valuable part of going to school is that you meet people from all different cultures and all different backgrounds, and you integrate and you learn how to kind of form a community within the school with them and get on and stuff.
Yeah.
And if you only ever know other Muslims and the people, and you're being taught that the other people have got it all wrong, and it seems like it's going to be a lot harder for you to. I don't really like. I can understand why cultures traditionally set up a sort of area, and where maybe there's not all that much integration within a city. The places like I've got an ex-girlfriend I had. Their parents didn't really speak English. They watched Chinese TV at home. They went and worked in Chinatown and spoke Chinese at home and ate food from the Chinese supermarket. They didn't really integrate in any kind of way at all. And I didn't blame them for it, but it is a shame, you know. I feel like if I moved to a different country and didn't really know the language or the people or the culture, I might flock towards other English-speaking people, because it's just easier to get along and maybe that would evolve into something. But it is a shame because it feels like integration is the only way that people are going to stop being so racist.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But if you were ascribed to a set of values that said that, you know, the people that believe the same things as you or come from the same place as you were all going to heaven, and that the people that don't believe that are sinners and are going to hell and are kind of disreputable and will behave badly and don't have the same moral code as you, And that's what you're going to be sending your kid into. The sort of, you just trust these people, but you're going to be sending your kid to be amongst them and perhaps be influenced by them and not have the strict code that you need to impart into your kid to ensure that they go to heaven. It's quite a lot of pressure.
There is a lot of pressure.
On one parent. Yeah. So, I mean, I think I understand the compulsion to send someone to a faith school under those circumstances.
Yeah, I can understand why they would. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that it's right to.
No, maybe not. But I think your problem is that you hate religion.
I do hate religion. Really? I do hate it.
I think what it is that you have such low self-esteem that you don't believe that you could be one of God's chosen children. You don't believe that you're worthy of God. That's what's going on here.
So arrogant to think that, isn't it?
Mm.
So arrogant. It's like there's so much going on in these floorboards and this wood.
Yeah, but God's making it all happen though, Ben.
Shut that drives me nuts, though. It drives me nuts because it's like, no.
I'm sure.
And then they go, oh, and who's told you this? You're like, well, I've read about it and I've watched things on it. Oh, right, but you haven't seen it yourself.
Exactly. Come back to me when you've done the research.
I'm buying a microscope.
Okay.
Soon. I'm really excited. Yeah.
For this express purpose.
I just want to look at stuff under a microscope because there's so much.
And see God's work firsthand.
Oh no.
Hmm.
Well, what amazes me is that. We're here, and then, but such a microscopic level, so much is going on, more than what's going on in space. And then you're like, you're right in the middle of those two worlds. And you think, God, I'm right in the middle. And it's like, no, you're not right in the middle. You're actually just one of those bits of shit along the shit pile.
Have you ever thought of sort of maybe tidying up your worldview? Because it's not particularly attractive right now. You're all just a piece of shit.
No, that's not
going to attract people to your...
No, I know, but no, I find it freeing. I'm like, oh my God, you know, we've only got one life. We're only here for such a small amount of time. It's amazing. Let's all be friends.
No. I'd rather be someone who is here put special by someone who's looking after me and to whose bosom I shall return upon death.
Most people would, and those people die and go, no, shit. Oh, God. I look at priests and I think, you've got a made-up job there. You're laughing. You've got a made-up job.
Like people who call themselves like a therapist when they're not a trained counsellor or anything like that.
I just talk to people.
I'm a life coach, actually. That's what priests are now, I guess. Yeah. I guess so, yeah. They've just got legitimised by loads and loads of years of the same lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But lovely people.
No, absolutely. The thing is, if you're friends with a devout Catholic and your best mates, whatever, there's always an elephant in the room.
There is, yeah.
And you think, you reckon I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
And I deserve it, presumably. It's quite difficult to be friends.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to just ignore that.
Yeah.
And imagine that that's...
Yeah. My friends...
If that wasn't tied to religion, that world for you, if just as part of an atheistic friendship, I believed... that upon your death, you were going to be sent to a torture chamber and a fiery pit where your genitals were going to be ritually mutilated and you're going to have your asshole ripped out of your eyeballs.
Yeah.
That would be an issue. Why do you believe that, Ollie? That's what
I find. Like my mate's girlfriend is like always thinking she's going to hell because they haven't got married and now they're getting married, so it's all going to be all right.
Mm.
But it's like you can't genuinely believe that, surely.
Mm.
It's like, and that's horrible that someone does genuinely believe that. They're like, oh my God, I mean, I cannot think this. I can't think that I'm gay. I can't think that I like chicks with cocks. I can't think any of this, even though I'm thinking it right now. I can't possibly think it. But that's what's annoying, is that most people are kind of just casual.
Mm. Yeah, they don't believe everything.
No.
Mm. Maybe... I mean, it's just like the closest thing to what they believe.
Yeah.
And it gives them a sense of community to be part of something.
Yeah.
So I guess they just picked it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot more difficult to found your own one and then go to a service on your own.
Yeah.
Just for yourself.
I'd be happy.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, look at me.
I'm the only one going to heaven.
I'm the only one that knows the truth.
Are you feeling anxious about anything you've said?
No, not really.
Mm.
I just don't know. I just say what's in my head.
Mm.
I'm just honest.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah, but then I find it interesting to be like, well, I like to say what I'm thinking.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe I should have.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. Have you got anything to plug?
To plug, yeah.
Go for it.
Listen to our podcast after you listen to this one and go, wow, that guy sounds like my cup of tea.
This one and all the other ones of this one. And then
and all the other ones, obviously, after you've caught up.
Yeah.
After you've gone, Ben Adams, I'll listen to that.
Yeah.
And then,
all the other episodes.
Yeah.
Left a rating and a review.
Obviously.
Then.
And subscribed.
Yeah. Then you can go and...
Then go listen to We're Not Racist and We Love Gays.
Now, why have you called it that? Is it to be provocative?
No, it was a thing we had that was just like... It came about... We were going to do a show together, a Camden Fringe.
Right.
And it came about with all the posts on Facebook of people being like, hey, everyone, look at this racism, it's bad.
Mm.
Like, being kind of people just shouting, I'm not racist!
Mm.
Like, metaphorically.
Mm-hmm.
Then... That's what it came about. Like, we're not racist, we love gays.
Yeah. What would you say the dynamic is between you two? What are you and what is he?
I'm more the straight man.
Mm-hmm.
More trying to get the show along, you know, keep him on track.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just different points
and
of
he's
view.
And he's the funny one.
a lot of people do think he's the funny one, but I like to think I'm wittier.
Right.
I'm wittier and, like, quick and...
And he's more naturally funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Well, thanks, Ben, for coming on the show.
That's all right, it's been lovely. I need to plug something else as well.
Go for it.
youtube.com/BrokenToasterTV.
What's that?
It's all the, at the moment, me and a few couple of mates, an actor mate and a director, we're David Spear and Andrew Shire.
Mm.
They we get together and we make a short film once a month for the whole year, and we film it and edit it in 24 hours. And we've got 6 up there at the moment.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to episode 5 of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme with Ben Adams. As always, if you wish to register your enjoyment and help out the show, please do visit the iTunes page and give us a rating or review, and that would help us gain new listeners. I have not slept for 2 nights, so I can't even begin to work out who the guest is next week, so it'll just have to be a surprise. Won't that be fun? But for now, thank you again for listening. Goodbye!
If there is a hell, you are undoubtedly going to hell.
Well, good job there isn't.
Do you ever think about that?
No.
Do you ever think, oh, but what if, just by some weird, twisted thing, they are right, and when I die...
we'd all be going to hell.
Well, yeah. And it doesn't mean it's going to be any better. It's not like, oh, I'm in hell, but it's all right, Ben's here, it's fine. might be having my guts ripped out from my arsehole, but it's, you know, we can have top bants about it.
So there's me, Greg Dyke, my girlfriend, Salman Rushdie. We go down and meet
Ollie Bettesworth.
Mental.